Welcome to another edition of Earth and Industry Radio's Gang of Four. As always, we've got executive editor Tim Hurst, contributors Jeff McIntyre Strasberg and Maria Sermamanka, and I'm David Westcott. And what a surprise, we're going to talk about the ongoing saga that is the aftermath of the Deepwater Horizon debacle. We're just going to jump right into it, and what are our reactions to where things are right now? I know that the company is testing yet another cap to the gusher, but Tim Hurst, where are we, and what do you think we need to be thinking about now?
Sure. You know, the thing that I've really sort of been watching as this whole thing has developed is the changing language around this whole spill or gusher or who's responsible for it and how that should be framed. You know, and I don't know why I take such issue with people calling it the Gulf oil spill, but I do for some reason. And I think, you know, I think if we look back at the Exxon Valdez accident, you know, most people don't call it the Prince William Sound oil spill. You know, that's not, people don't even know where it happened, most likely. So for some burning reason, I feel like it's fairly important to tie BP to it. And I think they have done a pretty good job of reframing this spill as the Gulf oil spill. I don't know what you all feel about that or if you kind of noticed the same thing, but there's definitely been an ebb and flow of how it's named and whether or not the BP should be tied.
I've definitely been surprised, Tim, at how often I've seen Deepwater Horizon. It seems to me that that's been more recent. And so that's interesting that you brought that up, because I thought the same thing today, just kind of doing a little bit of prep for this, was how often Deepwater Horizon was what it was called versus BP.
Yeah. And I guess that's technically, that's probably more accurate, because that's where the accident happened on that. And, you know, I don't necessarily want to blame BP for all of it, because we don't really know how much Halliburton is responsible. We don't know how much Cameron Subsea is responsible. We don't know how much, you know, Anadarko is responsible. BP is it's just easy to say, I think.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and Jeff, you're the English professor in the room.
I am.
Who's the, you know, how should we be referring to this? What's the proper context here?
Oh, well, I mean, it's interesting. Yeah, if you... I mean, what I started thinking of it is potentially the role of social media here and how that plays into language. And whether that gives some, you know, company like BP extra leverage to sort of shift the language in a way that in turn shifts the blame, or at least that's what the language itself conveys. The Alaskan spill, it's always the Exxon Valdez spill. And so clearly, you know, that element of responsibility relates there. I'm just wondering if this isn't real effective use of the media as it exists today to again, frame it, as Tim used it. And I think, you know, I don't know if this is as much a English issue as it is sort of a framing issue and maybe sort of a socio-political issue.
You know, I find it very interesting that, you know, I'm having a discussion here with three self-labeled environmentalists, and instead of talking about the environmental impacts of this disaster, we're talking about what we call it. it's interesting to me that the discussion has gone so quickly to the discussion about the discussion. And not so much about what's actually happening out there.
God, we're turning into pundits.
Isn't
here.
It scary? Uh-huh. Isn't that scary?
Talk about. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I wish I got paid
now,
like a pundit.
Now we shift to poll numbers here.
Yeah. You know? Right. Right. And what? This is all great for John McCain, I'm sure. But you know, it's scary, isn't it? I mean, the it's so easy to sort of distract people from what's happening down there.
I think it's also hard to find something to talk about or write about that hasn't already been talked about and written about. You know, there's really only so much woe is me and crying in my milk that I really want to do about this, and more like, you know, getting at the meta story and really what's kind of happening here. You know, it's hard.
Do you think so, though? I mean, do you think that – because what's been bugging me about this whole thing is how, at least I think, the media and the science community has really been held at bay. And I think that the story the really big stories are the stories we haven't heard yet.
Right. And it's as a blogger or reporter who's not actually on the scene there, that's hard to get at. You know, it's hard for me to be super critical of that, not having firsthand access at that. You know, you've given me plenty of instances of where it's happened, and I believe that it's happening, and there's some sort of obfuscation going on, but it's hard for me to be critical of it and really pinpoint it without experiencing it.
Yeah, it is hard, but it's frustrating to see. Well, we're all sort of we're in uncharted territory. I mean, we've never seen a disaster of this scope.
And right. So, and for this length of time.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. scares me. But Jeff, what can we expect to happen? I mean, I guess all of you sort of have at least some basis of knowledge as to what we're actually going to be looking at over the next, I don't know how long. But let's hope for the best and assume that they do cap this thing. I mean, what happens next?
I imagine what they're going to try to do is it's capped and everything's good now and go on with your lives. And to some degree, and I won't rant like I did last time, but, I think this goes back to some of the issues I raised. The people down there are going to be with this for a long time. And that's one thing I've noticed in the media. Early on, you did seem to see a lot of the faces from the Gulf Coast, you know, people being directly affected by this. And to a large degree, I don't know that you're seeing as much of that anymore. I mean, I haven't noticed it. It really kind of struck me the other day. I don't know if you guys have seen the video of the guy who pulled out the guitar. That really struck me as moving and something that, boy, I'm sure, you know, BP and their PR folks, you know, apologies to PR folks here. We're just freaking about that because here you had a real live face and a real picture of the complexity involved here, because this gentleman, though obviously, you know, working class and perhaps not super well educated and so forth, really spoke well, I thought, to the complexities that folks down there are facing. This is terrible, and what we've dealt with for decades with the oil industry is terrible, but my God, that's all we got, you know, and we got to feed our families and then so forth. So off to the oil rigs, I go to work. I hope we're continuing to see more of the human stories on this and maybe not just the doom and gloom, but how are individuals dealing with this in their own lives is this changing them? Are we getting any activist out of this? Like this guy apparently had become, you know, like he said, boy, I never expected to be the hippie who brings a guitar to a meeting, but but here I am, you know.
I think that is going to be critical for keeping the spotlight on the people down there once it is capped, whenever it's capped, because I agree, once it is, I think a lot of us who are geographically far away from it are going to, it's not going to be on the front of our minds, because a lot of the media coverage is, it's around the technology. Will it work? Will it not? It's really dramatic. And once it does, that's wonderful. But I think for the people who are left behind, it's going to be a challenge to remind the rest of us that there's going to be repercussions for years and years to come, and there's still going to be a lot of fallout from it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it reminds me of a story that I heard on NPR just the other day about a woman in Haiti whose tarp had basically become threadbare because of all the sun and wind and weather, and that she had to move out of her tarp, and she was living in someone else's tarp. Well, this is not, you know, people, Haiti, what? Who, where?
Yeah.
You know, what happened there? You know, we
God,
have
that was 6 months ago. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And it's an ongoing thing. It's the same thing. People are going to experience that earthquake for years and years and decades to come.
Who remembers the coal mine explosion in West Virginia?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
exactly.
News broke just today that some sort of a warning device had been disconnected.
Right.
You know, but have we heard about the mining communities in West Virginia? I mean, there people were all over that when it happened, and they stayed there for days, and there were a lot of human interest stories there too. But then we moved on to the next thing, and it's kind of scary because all of these things have an impact, and we haven't really seen changes in the way people are held accountable for these sorts of things. And so I think you're all right. We need to think a little bit more about how do we keep our attention on this and how do we make sure that this doesn't happen again? Cause I share your concerns. I don't know that this is gonna, that this is necessarily gonna to be fixed. And it's kind of scary.
Especially with all the oil sort of settling, which it appears to be doing, you know, a lot of it is not making it to the surface. So like the actual ecological visibility of it, if the oil's not coming to the surface, you know, and it's just kind of sitting down there, it's going to be even, you know, out of sight, out of mind type thing.
Jeff, you were going to jump in?
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, and I mean, what we're doing here, I mean, this seems like a good place. Maybe we ought to task ourselves with every so often finding a story, you know, right. I mean, particularly once this gets capped and making sure it gets out.
It's a great idea. That's a great idea. Wow. Now the professor's given us homework. Great. Well, with that homework assignment, I think we should probably wrap this up. This is David Westcott. I'm with Tim Hurst, Maria Sermamenka, and Jeff McIntyre Strasburg. We're the Gang of Four for Earth and Industry Radio, and we'll check in with you all again next time.